Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
A lot of college football chatter here on this Wednesday morning. Let's welcome aboard right now former coach, and that is Houston Nutt, CBS Sports college football analyst. Good morning, Houston. How are you, bud?
Hey, doing good. Good morning.
Thanks for taking the time. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, it should be a good, interesting weekend. We got a scenario to play out before we get to some of the games. That Taz and I have been a good conversation, good reaction. You know, you look at it, you know, the SEC championship game is set. It's Georgia and it's Alabama, right? If Clemson should finish the year undefeated and win the ACC title game, Notre Dame beats Syracuse on Saturday, finishes the year undefeated, and Michigan should win out and win the Big Ten title game, and then you have Georgia beats Alabama in the SEC title game, how would the committee handle that?
That's the one. That's the big scenario right there.
There you go.
It's going to come down to Alabama and that number four spot. I guess it would be Michigan, and a lot of discussion right there. And I can't see them taking Alabama and throwing them out. And that's what makes it tough. That's what makes this thing crazy and fun. And it's, you never know what can happen. But I don't see how the way Alabama's playing, especially with a healthy Tua Tagovailoa, I just don't see them moving them all the way out.
Yeah, I agree with that. But we were going back and forth here. We had a lot of people, coach, call the show about it. Moose just mentioned that Syracuse, Notre Dame, so that's happening this week at Yankee Stadium, as you know. What kind of chance you give Syracuse, man? They look like a pretty good squad, I mean, against this Notre Dame team. Can they give them what do you think, give them a little scare? Can they get a victory here to the Orange?
You know, I think they can. You know, this game is you never know. You don't have to be better than them 3 weeks or 4 weeks. It's just for those 60 minutes. And Syracuse, as you know, it seems like they always put together once or twice a year where they're hitting on all cylinders. And, you know, they could do it. But ever since Ian Book has been inserted in the game, you know, Notre Dame has gotten better, especially offensively.
Right.
And I'm real curious to see, but I think to answer your question, I think Syracuse can put a scare on them, question.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, yeah, and the job that Dino Babers has done for the Orange, and coach, I mean, you know this better than anybody, you know, living that life and coaching is, you know, step into a program, a once-storied program that kind of fell on very, very hard times. You know, under Pasqualoni, even before that, I mean, they were a perennial top 25 program. And really consistent, really good, regardless of conference, and to rebuild that, I mean that is a lot. That doesn't just show you know just how good of a coach he is, but to be a program builder in a spot in which it just became a college basketball school because of the hard times the football program fell on, that just even emphasizes just how remarkable of a job Babers and his staff have done.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, it's not easy. You just can't snap your fingers and say, okay, we're going to have us a football program and start competing. You know, it's a lot of work. It's of course, it always starts with recruiting. Recruiting the right guys, doing a really good job of evaluation. And then you get those young men to campus, and you're laying down this blueprint and this roadmap that you want everybody to follow. And it's not easy. It's not easy getting everybody, the 18, 19, 20-year-olds all in one line and everybody going in one direction. Not easy. But Coach Babers has done an excellent job of recruiting, getting guys to believe. And, man, there's nothing like those locker room scenes, especially those celebrated locker room scenes where you see those guys hooting and hollering. Man, to me, that's what it's all
about.
Yeah,
that seems like a lot of fun. Hey, Coach, so we were talking earlier also about UCF. You know, I want to ask you a two-part question. A, do you think they're ranked appropriately at 11, being that they're 9-0, you know? And also, what do you think? I mean, we were talking, man, this might be where they lose. They're playing Cincinnati, who's legit at 9-1. This could be the week that they lose. So talk a little bit on UCF, if you don't mind.
Central Florida, you know, has done an outstanding job. You go all the way back when they played Auburn, beat them in a bowl game, and they just keep winning. And they've done a great job, again, with getting the right athletes, starting with McKenzie Milton at quarterback. He can make it happen.
Yep.
So got to give Central Florida a lot of credit. The problem is it's going to be hard for them to always to get to that last, the Final Four, the college playoff, to make it all the way in. It's going to be hard. Have to have a lot of things to happen. But you're right. better watch out this weekend. Cincinnati's a very physical, very tough team, very capable of winning the game. And so everybody's got to be on point for Central Florida. You got to be ready to go because, of course, everybody's coming after them. And there's some competitive teams in that league, and it starts this Saturday for Central Florida, no question.
Yeah, you look at what they've done with the change of coach, undefeated last year under Frost. Heupel steps in. The consistency and the guys that they lost that either graduated or went on to the National Football League, coach, it just shows you. Now, they have not been as dominant. They've had some tight victories this year, and they could lose to Cincinnati this weekend. But to be up until this stage, a week away from Thanksgiving and be undefeated, it's a great accomplishment.
You got to give it to them, no question about it. And you mentioned they've lost some guys on defense especially. But the one person that didn't graduate is Mackenzie Milton.
Yep.
And to me, he's a coach on the field. Gets him out of the wrong play, gets him into the right play, very accurate, a winner. Fell behind, last week or a couple weeks ago, and just doesn't flinch. And so you're right. Got to give them a lot of credit, and they're a fun team to watch. But again, they know they got to buckle up both chin straps and get ready to go this weekend.
Mm. Coach, so we're looking right at the top four here, right? So as we all know, right, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan. So what happens? Let's fast forward, man. What's the deal? Give us a forecast, 2-3 weeks, 4 weeks down the road. I mean, what's going to change, if anything? Is it boring right now? Is it not? We're kind of sitting in neutral. I want to be in drive. I want to go down the road, bro. I want to break the speed limit a little bit.
Well, I want to tell you just stay tuned now, because if you watch, there'll be something happen here these next 2 weekends that we think everything's just nice and you're in neutral, and all of a sudden this thing's going to be stuck hitting reverse with your foot on the pedal. Man, and so Alabama, I just feel like right now there's a little bit of a separation when you watch them, especially now if Tua's getting a little bit beat up. So I got my eye on that one. Georgia's a very athletic team, and they do a good job with the running backs and all those things. But I just don't think they have enough to beat Alabama in a championship game. So I think Alabama and Clemson are going to hold tight. The next two, let's watch real closely. Notre Dame, you just brought it up earlier. Notre Dame, Syracuse, let's watch what happens there. Let's watch what happens now. Michigan still has to play Ohio State. I keep kind of having one eye on Ohio State because we know they're athletic. We know they're talented. Can they put it all together and beat Michigan? So I still think there's a lot of ball out there left, guys. So, hey, let's just hold tight. I know we're in neutral, kind of boring, but it won't be. You watch.
Alabama and their dominance certainly has hurt it, coach. You know that. I mean, and just the perception that's just in that, the perception's the reality. It's them, and then it's everybody else. Mm-hmm. But, coach, if I were to ask you right now, and we've got some time to go, but just eyeball test, watching all these games each and every week, your top four teams in the country are whom?
Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, and I'll probably go with Notre Dame right now, but again, I still got my eye on. If you go all the way to 10, I still got my eye on Ohio State. You got a Big 12. You got two Big 12 teams with Kyler Murray and Will Greer that can score. I worry about their defense. Don't know what can happen. And of course, a guy like Gardner Minshew of Washington State, he's been unbelievable, leading the world in passing, 390 something yards a game, and their defense has gotten better. So there's some outside guys looking in, but to me, I'm going to stay with the four they have right now, and just anxious to see what happens these next 2 weeks.
Coach, I got a question, a coaching question more or less, how you deal with players. As we know, right, Alabama, right, they're 52-point favorite this week. They're playing at home. They're hosting the Citadel, right? So, all right, so, we've heard Saban, the deal, right? Nick Saban said he's going to start, Tua, he's got the banged up wheel. We know that. What do you do as a guy who coached on the D1 level with your success? If you agree with Saban, just explain that. Like, why would he do something like that against a team where you're gonna roll them?
Well, you're always trying to stay sharp. You're trying to stay, the continuity, the chemistry. You're trying to always keep it right. You're trying to get better each and every week. Now, saying all that, I'm not there at practice, but if you and I were at practice and we're watching him go through individual drill, we go through periods, and we see him limping around. To me, if he's not full speed, hey, come over here on the sideline. We're gonna We're going to let our defense, we're going to let our special teams, and we're going to let Mac Jones, we're going to let him handle it since Jalen Hurts is, he can't play right now. We're going to let him handle this game, and you get ready. But, again, you know, we're not there, so, I don't know.
Right,
he may
right.
be ready to go by Saturday, and if he's full speed and he's healthy, great. But if he is nicked up just a little bit and you want to start him, you can bet this. They won't run him very much, that's for sure.
Mm.
They'll get the ball out of his hands. They'll let him hand it off. They just want to keep everything going because you're always trying to reach what? You're trying to always hit that peak of getting better each and every week. They remember in November, championship week is coming.
Yeah.
Playoff is coming. You want to be at a high level.
We're talking to Houston Nutt, CBS Sports college football analyst, former coach. Let's look at Louisville here. Excuse me, coach, for a second. Their decision to get rid of Bobby Petrino. What about that Louisville program on the whole? Everything that transpired with Petino and basketball. Now you look at their football program here, coach. Where do you think Louisville goes? They went with a familiar name, and we know how good in the past Charlie Strong was down out at Louisville, building them up. How great they were under when Teddy Bridgewater was their program was their quarterback. Where do you think Louisville goes for the next head coach?
That's a great question. You know, the one thing that you mentioned, I think, is so true. When you look at Louisville in the past, you mentioned Charlie Strong, Teddy Bridgewater. There was the recruiting was very, very good. They were competing at a high level. You could tell the last few years recruiting has gone down. They're slower. They're missing some pieces. And so, you know, your first instinct is, do we get Charlie Strong? Do we bring him back? I don't know if he wants to leave. He may be real happy in South Florida. Doing a good job down there. So I don't know. But that's, you know, your first thought is that the guys that are familiar with recruiting, and if you look at the programs that are not successful right now, it always starts the lifeline of the recruiting, number
one. The players. Yeah.
And you gotta have you gotta have people that understand the area, how to recruit that school, and it's just so important.
Yeah, and it's ultra competitive. No matter what sport it is, not just football. You know, getting the better athletes out of high school. You know, hey, coach, what about the kid that a lot of folks are high on? I think he's great too. Is the Clemson QB? The freshman Lawrence. I mean, break him down, man. What makes him so special? He seems like he's going to have a really super super bright future here with the Tigers.
Yeah, you know, he stands at 6'6". The thing that when you watch him that shoots off the screen is. The way the ball comes off his fingertips, and I'm talking about a quick release with RPMs. This ball is spinning, and he's accurate. And you can tell he's gaining more confidence, getting much more confident in the system. And we all knew that he could throw all the right. He can throw the post, the intermediate, the comebacks, quick game. He can make every throw. So that makes him special, and especially if he's that accurate. So he's only going to get better. That height, that arm, and the supporting cast of Travis Etienne, and, of course, that defensive front now.
Oh,
that's the one front to me that can compete with Alabama is the defensive front of Clemson. So you add Trevor Lawrence to the equation, man, and that's a dynamite package now.
You know, Coach, to the Big 12 and Oklahoma and how good they are offensively, they're not particularly good defensively. Do you think the characteristic trait of that conference, of being a great offensive conference, lack of defense for the most part, do you think that's a character flaw for that conference and what Big 12 football is about?
Well, I do. I'm a little bit partial because, you know, I ended up after Arkansas, I transferred to Oklahoma State and played in the Big 8, and I remember defenses that were phenomenal. And then I'll go even further. When I was at Arkansas, we played Bobby Stoops. In the Cotton Bowl one year, Roy Williams at safety and these defensive linemen were phenomenal. On the score ended up 10-3, old school score. But my point is, defense was definitely played from Barry Switzer to Bobby Stoops. It was there. I mean, unbelievable athleticism, toughness, getting off blocks, physicality. You don't see that. You know, when you watch Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, and I love watching guys go up and down the field, I do. But there comes a time where you think, I'm ready to see somebody hit somebody and tackle, and you don't see that, you know, when it's going back and forth right now. So to answer your question, you know, I do think it hurts their conference a little bit when you see a lot of offense, but yet when you stack them up against Michigan, Alabama, Clemson, you feel like you know what the outcome would be.
Well, right, and that. But how does that change, though, Coach? Because it's not just one year here. We're looking at a good 7-8 year run where there's been a downturn in Big 12 defense.
You know, well, that's a great question. And to me, it goes back to what we're talking about. You know, you got to recruit your way out of it. You got to go back and sign those guys that can go chase that ball and arrive in a bad mood. And, you know, we've seen it before. But as you said, it's interesting. You're on a run of about 6-7 seasons where you feel like, man, we know the Big 12 can play offense. We've seen that.
Right.
Field, but when are we going to see them, you know, tackle consistently?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, you mentioned Oklahoma State, right, and Mike Gundy, and they're a great offensive team. But, when you were just answering that question, Coach, I think of the story. What was it, 3 off seasons ago? He went in the off season and said, find me the best offense in America. And they found the best offense in America, right? A guy that was coaching at a small school went there, offered him the OC job, about $300,000 to $350,000 a year. But it's all about offense. He's not going out there trying to find the best defensive mind in America. He's looking to try and get his offense just that much better. You know, and I just don't think you mentioned the players. There's certainly enough talent on the teams to play a lick of defense. It doesn't seem like the coaches really care about emphasizing defense.
Yeah. Yeah, not in those meeting rooms, and I see what you see. And you just feel like there's going to be, you'd think there'd be a meeting where you say, look, I'll tell you what, we're going to flip this thing. We're going to start playing defense, or we are going to get the best coaches on defense. And there's been some good coaches on defense come through there, but they're just at a time now. It's just like they're at this rocket speed of just, I know, up and down the field, and it's just hard to explain. You know, when you see these many points that are being scored, and not it doesn't seem like there's as much emphasis on the defensive side. But surely, I just got to believe the coaches, Coach Gundy and Coach Riley with Ruffin McNeil. I just got to believe that there's some defense being talked about. There's no doubt in my
mind. It's like, hey, Coach, like the old school WAC conference. Remember that?
I do.
You know.
And Gundy's got the best head of hair in America.
Yeah, what's the deal with that hair? Oh, my God.
We should all be so lucky to have Mike Gundy's hair.
He's got some head.
Coach, to Alabama, have you seen, when you look at it's them and everybody else, and they're the best team in America, the separation that they've created, because, you know, it's real and it's tangible as long as Tua is on the field. Is this the greatest disparity you've seen for any Saban-led Alabama team?
I think so, because of this. You know, how many in the years past, what do we always talk about, Coach Saban? Well, it starts with defense. And, you know, he lost a lot of first-rounders. And you notice that we didn't talk much about defense because their offense was so off the charts. We couldn't believe what we were seeing, how fast Nick Saban was playing offensively. And then all of a sudden, LSU at night, and remember now, that LSU team scored some points on a good Georgia team and beat them very soundly.
Yeah.
So we're thinking about a good, tough game, but it doesn't happen because of what? The defense of Alabama. So to answer your question, no one can say this word better than Nick Saban, and this word is next. He can say next because of his death. You know, when somebody gets hurt, next.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care if it's a secondary person. I don't care if it's a linebacker, a defensive tackle, a receiver.
Yeah.
And he says next. And so he's recruiting at such a high level.
He's got some depth,
and,
man.
And this recruiting is a balancing act, guys. You got to have the right number of O linemen, the right number of defensive linemen, the right number of secondary. I've just never seen anybody that does it better than he does.
No, it's remarkable. And Coach, close out here. I watched Michigan and Rutgers this past Saturday. Happened to be down Piscataway. He doesn't exactly fit that offense with Shea Patterson because he looks like he wants to kind of throw it. But I'll tell you this: he's gotten more and more comfortable with the Harbaugh brand of offense for the Wolverines as this season's gone along.
Oh, you're exactly right. I've got to watch him the last 3 weeks, and you start to see this, he's comfortable. And we all knew that he could extend the play and make things happen, but you can see him going through the progression of the read, and then he moves, he can throw with accuracy. And then the defense has been there. The defense has been physical, they're tough. And so I'm anxious. I'm waiting on the next couple of weeks for Michigan to see how they finish. I'm real curious about that.
Hey, Coach, we certainly appreciate the time this morning, all right?
Yes, sir. Yes,
enjoy
sir.
Your Wednesday, all right?
Okay, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.